Okay, we're about to really, really begin in this figure. So, comes the Gemara, Daf Tzadizayin Rebeis, and going back to some of the ideas of Bittul B'Shishim. So the Gemara said, that's the basic rule, Bittul B'Shishim. And again, we spoke a little bit about where that number came from. The Pashup Shad is that Bittul B'Shishim is just a way of being revived at the time. We're going to come and revamp that a little bit more so this continue. But that's the Pashup Shad. The Gemara starts to discuss different things that potentially subject to these rules of Shishim. The Gemara talks about a beitza, a shishim, and beitza in a minyan. The Gemara says if you have a tarovus of a beitza, and the beitza is also beitza, for a variety of reasons, the beitza could potentially be also, and this beitza gets bottled in a lot of other things, so it's bottled a shishim, the ain't beitza in a minyan. The beitza itself doesn't count but the 60. Namely, you need not 59 to 1, you need actually 60 of heter to the one of iser. So the Gemara poses a question on the bottom of the Zayin of the base, two lines at the bottom, I'm of Edi, for Avon Yabai. The name of the other time, really, if you have a tarobes of eggs, so that seems to be indicating, if you're talking about shishim, it sounds like you think that eggs are giving off tam, because of course shishim is usually synonymous with bittul tam. It sounds like eggs are something that would give off tam. Is that really true? Ah, Amri Inshi, people say, a strange question, we ask Akasha from what the Olam says, people say, not just Amratim say, this is the truth. A lot of people say, Amri Inshi, Ki maya the baby alma. Like egg is just kind of like a water be alma, the liquid, the juice, the ood, the tam that oozes out of eggs. It's just like a mere watery. It doesn't really have any tam, doesn't really mean anything. And therefore, presumably based on this, losham and other, remember what that means, we shouldn't have any problem, any requirement of shishu when it comes to eggs. So Tyson said the whole discussion, why exactly is that the eggs don't have taste? Is it because the shell is blocking the taste? Because the eggs and drizzlings don't have taste? Again, we'll talk about that hopefully as the sugya develops. But we want to focus much more, not so much on the Gemara's question, not so much on why the Gemara's jumping, on A, eggs don't have any taste, but on why the Gemara didn't assume something. There's something almost missing in the transmission of the sugya, and it's from what's missing in the Gemara that the Rishonim had a major, major discussion. That's where the rest of it is going to start. So Chazal made this very, very cryptic statement that Beitza B'Shishim. And the Gemara says, what? Beitza B'Shishim? Pain Tom. And the Gemara says, yeah, right. Hocham Haiskin, the egg has a Tom. It's got a chicken, it's given enough Tom. There is a Tom here. Baruch Hashem, we solved the world's problems. So come to Rishonim with the following question. I shouldn't even say, come to Rishonim. Comes to Rishonim. A Rishon with the following question. Who's the Rishon? Rabban. Rabban, the name of who? The Rav of Beis Din. Everyone know who the Rav of Beis Din was? He's sometimes called the Ravid because he had the same shtar as Rav of Beis Din. He was actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Ravid's. You know? He was the Ravid's father in law, right? The Shver, the Ravid, okay? He was the Ravid's father in law, the Rav of Beis Din. Let me say his name was Rabbi Abram also, but they called him the Rav of Beis Din. Can imagine, if he was looking for such a son-in-law like the Ravid, imagine what the father-in-law was like, the Rav of Beis Din. So the Rav of Beis Din posed the following question. Stop, he says, he doesn't understand the Gemara. Why is the Gemara discussing Bittul HaTam of Beitza, which is forcing the Gemara to pose a question, to pose a challenge? Beitzim don't have time. Yes, the Rabbi Beis Din, why didn't the Gemara discuss another kind of bittul b'shishim on Beitzim, which wouldn't have asked the question in the first place? What would have been the other case that wouldn't have posed the question? Not the bittul of the mere tam that's coming out of the Beitzim. That's not the terevis of tam, but rather what? A bittul of what? Bittul of what? Of the Beitzim itself. Maybe when the Gemara said before Beitza B'Shishim, there's a cryptic statement of the Gemara, Beitza B'Shishim. Maybe Beitza B'Shishim didn't mean Tam Beitza. Maybe Beitza B'Shishim meant Bittul Guf HaBeitza. So rather than having like a kind of a soup with Beitza Tam, and we have a little bit of Beitza Tam in here, maybe the case is it's a basket with a lot of eggs. And one of the eggs happens to be a treif egg. And Beitz B'Shishim, Beitz B'Shishim. Maybe that's what the Gemara meant with staying Beitz B'Shishim. If that's the case, then there would be no question. The only time you pose a question, hey, wait a second, there's no time, that's when you die, you mato really the time. But if you try to be mato the end, the etzem, the essence of the beitza, then notwithstanding that the egg doesn't taste anything, that would have been a good application of beitza b'shishim. That's the Rava Beis and Sasha. Why didn't the Gemara say that? And now he builds an entire theory, an entire sugi, an entire lumdus, based on answering why the Gemara didn't give that easy way out of beitza b'shishim. What does the Rabbi say? What does the Rabbi Beis say? Because it's not true. A tray for egg is not batal b'shishim. Why is it not batal b'shishim? Everything is batal b'shishim, right? What do we know it's not batal b'shishim? No. Truma. Okay, this is probably not truma. Right? Yainessa. This probably doesn't look like Yainessa to me. What? Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't look like chomet to me. So can somebody call this something orla? We're getting cold. Somebody tell me. I called last night from one of my nieces from California, 8th grade. So she said, Uncle Tzvi, we're learning Chumash. And we got to Ololos, the Parshas Kedoshim, Ololos. You know, a little couple of grapes, you know, here and there, just in the ketach, little junky grapes at the bottom, the leftover. So she said, my teacher didn't know does olos apply today or not. She never heard of anyone doing olos anymore. She wasn't sure whether it applied, so I was put in charge to find out. So she called me to find out. So I said, yes. I said, olos very much applies. The reason why you haven't heard about it is because it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not even in California. You know, the grapes in California. And I said, it happened to be, I could send you a video of your uncle doing the mitzvah olos. So I sent her a picture of my, me and Mary Yaakov, a video of us doing the mitzvah olos to some to go in the Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, I guess it was interesting. Why did I think of that? Because I thought of Orla and Olos all the same time. She'll call me tonight and ask me, Uncle Tzvi, does Orla apply? I said, of course. We burnt Orla in Bergenfield from a couple of years ago. We had an Orla's famous Orla's Chutz Laaretz. Okay, nothing. Okay, but anyway, back to that story. So your day definitely does apply. So Frek, Rabbi Beis Din, why did the Gemara say Bitl Gufa Beitza? So Rabbi Beis Din said it must be that a Beitza is not really Batal B'Shishim, and we are searching for why should a Beitza not be Batal B'Shishim? What other things do we know? Can somebody come up with something a little bit closer to home, something that may actually speak about a Beitza? Any other ideas of items that are not Batal? We're getting warmer. Choshev. Anyone want to give me a specific kind of hashivas? What? We're getting there. We're getting a little close. Did anyone do remember from?
Beria.
Oh, now, good morning. Beria, the word that we have no idea how to really pronounce it. Yeshivas that's called Beria. It's probably Bria or something, but we have no idea. Okay, if you walk to Yeshiva and say anything out of Beria, they'll say you're wrong. They'll call it Beria. I think it's a Yiddish word, Beria. So it comes to Gemara and says that a Beria is not Batal. What?
What if Stalin's henchman was Beria?
Okay, I'll make note of that. Extra credit, Mr. Walter, for that. So comes to Gemara a little bit later on and says that a Beria is not Batal. What is a Beria? A Beria is like a whole item, like a whole creature, like something in its entirety. The Gemara speaks about any ideas about some things that the Gemara calls barriers. Anyone ideas?
A bug.
The Gemara Machlis calls a barrier. And the Gemara calls a whole Giranosha barrier. So comes the Raigun and says that an egg is also a barrier. It also looks pretty barrier. It's a whole item. It's a whole creature. It's a whole entity in and of itself. It's complete. It's whole. And therefore, a barrier is not Batal B'Shishim. It's not subject to the regular rules of Batal B'Shishim, says the Raigun. And therefore, the Gemara didn't want to talk about the bittul of guf habeitza because that wouldn't have been a proper application of the statement beitza b'shishim. So therefore, the Gemara only spoke about the bittul of the ta'am. Bittul of ta'am is in that berry. Berry is only we're talking about the whole item in its entirety. If it's broken up and smashed up, it's just a little ta'am. That's not the parsha berry of the klal. So since it's not a berry, then we can discuss bittul b'shishim. And I'll say, hitcha Gemara, wait a second, eggs don't give off time altogether. But the reason why the Rebbe prevented Chazal from giving the case of Bittul Guf HaBeitza is because a beitza is considered to be a barrier. Ad kan divir. Very nice. So Beitz is a barrier. Okay, we have, you know, other things are barriers. Bugs, you know, noshes. We have a list of barriers. Throw this onto the list for good luck. Come to Raivin and not done yet. Come to Bishayim and now say, wait a second, we have a big problem. Because there is a Gemara Maseches Beitzah of all places that seems to indicate that a Beitzah, in fact, is not a barrier. What's Gemara? Who Gemara? Anyone look at the Gemara Beitzah of Gimel?
Yeah.
What? So comes the Gemara Beitzah of Gimel and is talking about the following very, very cryptic Brisa. The Brisa says, if you have a Beitzah that's Asur, that this Arva, the Elef, Kulan Asurais, one Asur egg gets mixed up into a million other eggs, all the eggs are off limits. Atkan, did we have Brisa? And the Gemara says, why should that be so? Why should it be that that egg, the one egg that gets mixed up, should answer all the other eggs? So the Gemara has a Shaila, what kind of egg is the problem? What kind of problem are we even talking about? The Gemara is just very, very cryptic, very, very vague. Beitza, Shinis Arva, the Elef, Kulan Asuros. The Gemara says, why? What's the problem? So what are the different options? What potential kashrus problems do we have with eggs? Who's going to tell me? Either going to be a beitzah treifa. That could be one problem. Because it's davar abomin a treifa. So that's one possibility. Beitzah treifa. Or what's another possibility? You know, what could possibly else be wrong with an egg? What? Huh? It could be a beitzah shenol to be yomtif, right? So we're not quite sure which egg the Braisa is talking about. So what's the Shach of the Gemara? It says the Gemara, if you hold that the Beitza in question is a Beitza Shenol to be Yomtif, then the statement makes perfect sense. Then I understand why the Beitza Shenol is Arba, Asas, all the other eggs. Why? Because as we all know for now, a Beitza Shenol to be Yomtif is a what? A theory? It's here all together, now there's a material. When you hear those words, what starts going off in your mind? Like alarm bells. You hear Beitza Shenol to be Yomtif. If I were to wake you up, momish, in the middle of the night, I'd say to you, quick, get up! What should come out of your mouth? A benterish is not to say, run the door, then wait. Rashi, Ashtabir, Yeroli, yeah. Those are the things that should go through your mind. That's like, it's got to be Shkur Beficha. That's what the bits of Talmud, that's the shear of Yedir Satayr. It's got to be Shkur Beficha. So Rabbi Sai comes to Gemara and says, if you hold that the Brisa, this cryptic Brisa, if you have no idea what he's talking about, is referring to a Beitza Shenol to be Yomtif, then the Braisa makes perfect sense. But if it's a Beitza Treifa, what's the problem? No? What's the problem? No? No? If it's a Beitza Treifa, so then it's a Dovah She'elam, your Treifa is never going to become water. The Beitza Treifa is never going to become water. It should be subject to the regular rules of Bittul. Why does the Braisa Tefil be off Kulon HaSiros? That's the Gemara's Kasha. So the Gemara makes somersaults to try to answer this Kasha. The Gemara works so hard. Who ever began with this Beitza? Who remembers? What does the Gemara say to try to answer this Kasha? It says, maybe the reason why the Beitza is not volatile is because it's the Dover what? Who remembers? No one remembers? What's it on the Memor Kamas? This whole Gemara was on the Memor Kamas. Maybe it's a Dover. No. It's a Beitza Strafe. It's not Dover Shishmatir. Maybe it's a Dover what? Dover Shishmatir. It's something that's sold by number, something that people count down. So there's a special chumrah called Dover Shebeminyan in a bottle. If something is always counted out, so maybe it's not bottle. So the Gemara says, not so simple. We're not even sure we follow that view, and we're not even sure this is called Dover Shebeminyan. The Gemara back and forth and drays the cup. We have Yechon, Mishlokish, At the end of the day, the Gemara gets into a lot of trouble. It has a lot of problems. So the Gemara is searching, and the curtain comes down, the sugya ends, and we're still not quite sure. But the answer to the dilemma is, why Beitza Shasabi Alef Kulon Asurim Suras if it's talking about a Beitza Treifa? Nope, what's the Kasha of Rava Beis Din? What's the Kasha of the Gemara against the Rava Beis Din? Why don't the Gemara just simply say what?
It's
a barrier. What's the Gemara draining us a cup? Why is the Gemara draining us a cup down the root of Beitza Shenol to be Yomtif of Dov Shesh Matirin? And then the Gemara is trying here. 15 different reasons why things are not, why an egg's not bottled. And maybe it's a dover. Maybe it's a dover. The Gemara is working. What is that? He had a much better reason. That's the reason why. Because of burial. That's the reason why an egg is not bottle. How come the Gemara didn't say that? Why didn't the Gemara fall back on burial? Zemen fendo, that an egg is not a burial. Why? I don't know yet. But l'chor, you see chlor for that hole. Hishtashos asugim, as Beitzit Av Gimel, that the Rav HaBeitzin is incorrect. How can we salvage the Rav HaBeitzin? What's up there, Ramban? How can we solve that dilemma? How can we solve that problem for the Rav HaBeitzin? What do we have to say? An egg is a beitza. I'm saying eggs are beitza. That is true. An egg is a barrier. We'll talk. An egg is a barrier. That is true. 100% correct. An egg is a barrier. And the Gemara and Beitza still didn't want to say the reason why it's not Bottle is because of barrier. Who's going to answer that riddle? Anyone see the Ramban? No. Says the Ramban, Marbachim number 3. Rava Bezin Zalkosov, Midika Porichochal, and Mamadir of Taima, the Shadal at East Bay of Froyach, Velo Shadilah had the Armina Bates, which is the two Bates of Gufa, Kamrinan, Mashva, the Bates of Gufa, Kashim Kaber Velo Botla. That's Rava Bezin, she prepared comedy, Humtif, that's Mesachas Betsa. Mashva, the Betela, Alib der Biyochad, it sounds the Gemara that if not for the Bechosh of issues, it would be Botla. No, what did the Rabbi Bezin just say? What did the Ramban just say to defend them? No. What did you say? The starting point in Halacha is things are generally bottled in the regular rules of Bittul. The regular rules of Bittul are, I mean, that's our Bittul Baruch, when there's Tom, in the Chishim, the Rabbanu in the Chishim all the time. Standard Bittul starts at Rov / Chishim. Every once in a while, there's some inflated number besides Rov / Chishim. So give me some examples of some inflated numbers. Give me a few numbers. Now, Mr. Olfenthal. Truma shot its way up to what? Who knows? 100, right? Very, very strange. You mean another one? You mean another inflated? Orlin Kilayim, right? Orlin Kilayim shot all the way up to Messiahim. Strange numbers. Probably all Midrabana, but very, very strange numbers. Then you have something else, another category of things, which are what? Which are so inflated that they reached the number of infinity. Namely, what? That's an example. Give me the rule. Afilo be'alafobot. There are certain things that afilo be'alafobot. So you have standards. This is regular. Then you have some of the funny ones. Then you have all the way in the bottom, you have afilo be'alafobot. Give me some examples of things that afilo be'alafobot. Give me another one. Who? Maybe a good Rabbi Huda, not bad, okay. It's a Truman. Truman's both of a man.
Some kind of kachim.
Behemoths
get mixed up.
Okay, maybe. Give me another one. Gemara and Beitza. Remember, the Gemara and Beitza is trying to figure out how is a Beitza Shasar the LF Kulan Asuros. So Gemara says maybe it's based on Tav Shesh Matir, maybe it's based on Tav Shesh Minyan, right? Again, whether it is or not is another story. But if it would meet the criteria of Tav Shesh Minyan, these would all be examples of Philby Alpha Bottle. So Tav Shesh Lo Tirin, Tav Shesh Minyan, these are all examples of a Philby Alpha Bottle. So you have regular Bittle, you got a couple of funny ones in the middle, and then you have this absolute extreme at the bottom. The Gemara says on Daf Kof, that a barrier is not subject to the regular rules of Bittul. What does that mean? The Gemara just says that if you have a barrier mixed into a bunch of other things, it's not Bittul like the regular things of Bittul. So what did you think that meant? Before you read this Rav HaBeis Din, When you first read the Gemara in Chulin Daf Kof, the first time you ever heard of Beria Lobotel, what did you think that meant? You thought that meant Beria is like a what? What kind of image did Beria give off to you? Like a Dava what? Like a Dava Shesh Matirin, like a Dava Chashov, like a Dava Shevim Minyan. You thought that Beria meets the fourth category, a Filo Be'Alef Lobotel. That's what you thought, right? And because you thought of that, therefore, you had a kasha for the Gemara Maseches Beitza. Because the Gemara Beitza, in discussing the inability of a Beitza to be Batla Filo Be'Alef, does not invoke the image of Beria. Doesn't say the word Beria. Zevin Fendor, that a Beitza is what? It's not a Beria. But the Rabbi Beizin who's telling me, no, it's not true, that a Beitza is a Beria. So he has to explain why doesn't the Gemara fall back on that Maseches Beitza. What's the answer? What does the Rabbi Beizin hold? A Beria is not Batla like regular things. It's not Batla B'Rav, it's not Batla B'Shishim. But what does it not have? What? It doesn't have that chumra filbi also bata. Just because something is not subject to the regular rules of Bittel, doesn't automatically translate to mean that it jumps to the fourth category of filbi also bata. Maybe it lands somewhere in the middle. Mayam asayam, another number, not 160, just it's an arbitrary number, which is a true number according to some Rishonim. So what? Why? Like, what made you believe that a barrier is not bata bichlal hakol mikol kol? So that's what the Ramban says with Dasa Rava Beis Din. That from the fact that the Rava Beis Din was willing to accept the Beitza in a Beria, and he wasn't at all disturbed with the Gemara in Beitza, where the Gemara refuses to call it a Beria to explain away why it's not Batel, Zemin Fendo, that Beria per se is not Batel. There's no rule, there's no halacha, there's no principle that a Beria is never Batel. The rule is that a Beria is not Batel to the degree that other things are Batel. It's not Batel B'Rav, not Batel B'Shishim, but it's Batel somewhere in the middle, and therefore the reason of Beria wouldn't be enough to explain the Braisa, Beit HaShem, is Arab Elef, Kulan Asuros, Afilu B'Elef. That's why the Gemara had to fall onto Dov HaShem, Matirin had to fall onto Dov HaShem, Minyan, etc. But Beit HaBeria wouldn't do the trick. So at the end of the day, the Rav HaBeisim was right. A Beit is a Beria, and the Gemara in Beit doesn't negate his position. Of course, any Rishon who is of the opinion that that is not true, that a Beria is not a bottle at all, never, ever, 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 if you agree to that idea that a Beria is never, ever, ever batel, and Afa Pichain, the Gemara in Beitz refused to call a Beitz a Beria, what do you see from here? That a Beitz is what? It's talking about a Beria. So you have to do something with the Gemara in Beitz. You can't ignore the Gemara in Beitz. One of two conclusions. Either you have to conclude a Beitz is talking not a Beria, or you have to conclude it is a Beria, but being a Beria is not enough to disqualify, to make it a Filo B'Yal Slobot. So something's got to give, and that's Sugi B'Sedes Beitz. Where I say, back to the ABCs, why should a Beitza be a Beria now? Is the Rabbi right? Forget about his Raya's, his Kashas, is he conceptually right or not? Forget about Gemara's, forget about the texts. Lomdus, do you think a Beitza is a Beria or not? How would you even begin to discuss that topic, whether a Beitza is a Beria?
Go through Shas.
Good idea. You'd have to look through Shas, look at all the other cases that Chazal called Berias and see. Does Beitza have those characteristics or not? So where would we even start? How many Gemaras talk about Beria? It's a very, very small trip to Shas. It's one line. It's one line in Kuf Amin Aleph. The Gemara is talking about a Gid HaNoshe being Batel in other Gidim, and the Gemara mentions Beria Shani. But that's the bad news. There's only one Gemara to go on. But the good news is that where does this din come from that a Beria is not Batel? Who made up this din? Assuming it's a Beria, that's never bottle over. Sometimes bottle, not bottle of shishim, bottle of rope. Where did this come from? Who is responsible for this chumra Beria? What's the probable answer? So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Tayag Mitzvahs to Moshe Rabbeinu. That is in Har Sinai. That is the year. What year in the calendar? 3,300 years ago, give or take. Okay, give or take a couple of years. So 3,300 years or so. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah mitzvahs. Now, we're reading a Mishnah, reading a Gemara in Daf Kuf, which is a slated pshat in the Mishnah, that Beria is not batel. So we scratch our head and we ask ourselves, when did this halacha come into being? Sometime between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the day of the Mishnah. So it could be that it was a din deraisa. It was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. This halacha that a barrier is not batel, it's not regularly batel. It could be a din deraisa. Highly unlikely. Why do you think it's highly unlikely that a barrier is not batel min haTorah? Why do you think? Why do you think it's just highly unlikely that that's the case? Because you'd have to find a pasuk for it. Or, if all else fails, what would you have to call it? Now, come on, there's a limit how many halachos you can make up. I mean, come on, get everything's a halacha. So we're looking for a pasuk. So where does it say? We open up Chumash, we're reading Parshas, Bereishis, Noach, Lechem, Google, Wolf, we're up to Chaisar already, and we don't find anywhere that the Rebbe Shalom says that barrier is not batel. Now, for that matter, how do we know that the Rebbe Shalom says that anything is batel? What's the answer? We have to use our real, real creativity. How do you know that they're a bittel berov altogether? Where did that come from? Acharam Mahatos, right? Everybody knows that. When you were reading, who here learned Parshas Shmot in fifth grade? When you were in fifth grade, when you got to that pasuk Acharam Mahatos, did you realize right away, aha, that, and now I understand that we got three pieces of meat, two akosha, one stray, four white, but now I got Acharam Mahatos. No, you didn't think that. You know why? Unless you were very smart, very advanced. Because Acharam Mahatos is talking about what? It's about three dayonim. It's not a kitchen here. There's no meat. There's a chashimish, but not your idea. So how in the world did the Gemara even know there's a little bit of bro in the first place? Forget about the exception to the rule. How did the Gemara even know bit of bro? Who knows? Come on, we said this over 100 times in the past. Not this year yet. Reb Chaya, who is the famous verse Reb Chaya? What? Zot Reb Chaya. The state in the Hilig Torah, bit of bro. We didn't talk about it yet this year, right? How do you know bit of bro? Acharam Mahathas. Says Reb Chaya. I understand when the Gemara in Chulin says, if I have 10 pieces of, if I have 10 stores, and I find the piece of meat on the floor, and 9 of the stores are kosher, I can eat the piece of meat. And the Gemara says, the source for that is Acharam Mahatas. That I get. But I don't understand if I have a tarevis of 3 pieces, I know 2 are kosher, I know 1 stray. How do I know I can eat the piece of meat? That's not the same thing. What's the difference between those 2 cases? Conceptually, what's the difference between I'm invoking Rove in both scenarios? But they are radically different from one another. One is I have, here's my street. Okay, what are we going to call it? What? West Englewood, okay? All right? West Englewood, I need some stores. Give me some stores, guys. Come on, let's hear it.
Doghouse.
No, it's not. Doghouse.
Now, whether or not Chickies is on this side of the street or the other is your guess as good as mine. I still don't understand. I thought they moved like 6 years ago, but they seem to still be in the same place. Okay, so you got Chickies, you got Doggies. Give me some more. Come on, come on.
Chopsticks.
Yala. You know that shawarma place?
I think they closed down.
No, they're just open the other
day.
Really? Going for supper tonight. Thursday night.
Sushi.
No. No, give me another one.
Rabika.
Rabika. Because the dogs.
No, yeah,
we bust the call. Chopsticks. Okay, chops. I already have 5, okay? Chopsticks is next to chicken.
Oh, the new place. The Humble Toast.
Humble Toast, that's over here. Okay. Well, let's see. Come on, what else you got? Okay, all right. I got it. Okay, fine. Okay, don't talk about it. The DH. The dog. Okay, so, right? Under the OU. Okay, fine. All right. And what do I have? I have almost those 10 stores. What else do I have? I need the Caribbean store, right? Now, one straight for store. I think the only reason why that store is Siat Shema is that I can be able to give this marshal. So on the corner here, all right, we got the Caribbean store. Okay, and then we got, over here, what do we got? We got Chubbies. Okay. That's a barbershop, in case anyone is interested.
There's a new section store next to Chubbies. It's
not kosher, though.
Okay, fine. Okay. The guys from the 5 towns can come back next week and take a tour of their own pictures. Okay. So here we have, all of a sudden, a guy finds a piece of meat over here and he wants to know, gee, can I eat this meat or not? So comes the Torah Kedosha and says, Acharam Ha'atos, you can eat the meat. And that's a Gemara Chulin. The Gemara is the Farish, based on these 3 words, you can eat the meat. What does a Beis Din passing a Shaila have to do with eating a piece of meat that was found on the floor? So Zok Reb Chaim, the answer is very simple. Peel away all the externals, says Reb Chaim. It's like pure brisk. Get away all the externals. Don't get bogged down with the external details. What's the heart and soul of the halacha? What? You have a safek. You have a latest of safek. And how are you mevara latest of safek? What's the answer? By rov. Now, I said the word mevara. I don't know necessarily I really mean mevara. I mean, no, I don't want to commit myself to that right now. But what do you do when you have a latest of safek? So the Torah says, you have a latest of safek in Beis Din. I don't know whether Reuven owes Shimon $100 or not. But two dayanim say he does. And one dayan says he doesn't. Therefore, the Torah says, from the office, he has to pay the money. So whenever you have a latest of safek, the Torah gives us a mechanism how to paskin. The mechanism is called rov. So I have a latest of safek about this. Even though this is a different era, this is your day, this is kashas, this is not cheshem mishpat dayanim, but it doesn't really matter. Those are the externals. Those are the trimmings. The heart and soul, the essence, is a latest of safek. And when you have a latest of safek, rov carries the day. So it says, Rav, I understand the Gemara in Chulin perfectly well. I got that. But now I have a new shayla. What's my new shayla? I have three pieces of meat. I know with absolute certainty I have three pieces of meat. And I know with absolute certainty one of them is kosher, one of them is treif. It's not even a latest or something. I know one's kosher. I saw one's kosher, one's treif. And then all the labels fell off. I'm sorry. Two are kosher, one's treif. All the labels fell off. And now I come and ask, Rabbi, can I make a triple-decker sandwich and eat all three of these pieces together? And you know what the answer is? According to the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim, at least in the Torah for sure, and according to the Rosh, even in the Rabbanon, what's the answer?
Yes.
Hepta goma. You know why? Because of bitul b'rov. I challenge you, I ask you, says Reb Chaim, what does that have to do with a rov of Beis Din? This is not a latest hasafek. We know that we have treifas here. This is not like finding a piece of meat on the street and trying to be mishaya where it came from. We know that we have treifas here. What are we using the mechanism of rov to do here, says Reb Chaim? Not to determine a suffix, but to do what? But to...
Yeah, like a statistic.
There's no statistic. There's no math. We are transforming entities. We are removing characteristics. We are declaring that the characteristics of Isser are no longer here because since the majority of items here don't have those characteristics, they are mevatel the characteristics of Tereshus. So what we're saying is that the one piece of meat has been swallowed up by the two and it takes on the characteristics of the two. That is the parasha b'tul b'rayv. Zogt Reb Chaim, what does that have to do with Beis Din? Beis Din is a pesek on a suffix. We state in the parish of Achim Lahatz to Beis Din that anything loses characteristics.
If one of them is chazir and the other two are, let's say, beef, aren't you going to run into a Tom Kaker issue?
No, assuming everything is the same taste. Talk about three pieces of meat. Two kosher, one nevela. If chazir tastes different from beef, then you have a yavish, b'yavish, chavish, eina, mimish, eina, mina, that's a whole other story. Okay, the classic three chatikas of the Roman mina. So that's the bomb kasha. Anyone thought of this kasha? Reb Chaim thought about this kasha for a long time. Zok Reb Chaim, who remembers where this Reb Chaim is? We spoke about him some of the days. It's in the beginning of the third pack of Baba Kama. It's in the Zok Reb Chaim, the Dark of Akedish, there are two dinim of Rav that are playing out in Beis Din. When you're watching a Din Torah happening, Beis Din is utilizing Rav in two ways, in two dramatically different ways, one from the other. One, no doubt, says Reb Chaim, Beis Din is using the vehicle of Rov to paskin a shayla sfeikus, because they don't know whether Reuven's chayif to Shimon or not. Two dayanim seem to say yeah, one says no. So the Beis Din as a whole says, we're not really sure, we're going to follow the Rov to be revived to suffix, to be known to suffix. And it's that dimension of Rov that enables us to paskin at the Beis Din. But Zok Reb Chaim, even after the Beis Din not kapaskin, that the odds are that he's probably chayav, the first Mishnah of Sanhedrin says, Didi Mamunis Bila, B'Shloisha. The Psak has to emanate from a Beis Din of Shloisha. All three have to say Pe'echod, that the word chayav. Now between you and me, only two of them are really saying chayav. What's the other guy doing? He's writing a dissenting opinion. He's saying he's potter. So how could you have ever din Torah two say chayav, one says pata. How can it be chayav? Achrayam lahatas. The Torah says beferish is chayav. How can it be? The other guy is not saying chayav. What's the answer? Two say chayav, one not saying chayav. What do we say the one who's not saying chayav is really saying? He's saying chayav. Why? Because his not chayav just became bottle in the rive of the two who are saying chayav. Zoktim chayav, licked in the parasha based of both of these truths. That Rove has the ability to be Mavaris Vekis, and Rove has the ability to transform you to become like bottle, to become like the rive. Wow, this is like pure. Lomdus, the highest level of Chaim. Now, comes the Gemara in the Kuf in Chulin and says, oh, by the way, this whole story breaks down when you have a barrier. When a barrier, sorry Charlie, it doesn't work. That's the Raisa. When you have a barrier, it's not Botel. It's just kidding when there's a barrier. What's the answer? Of course we don't tell you a bit of works when there's a barrier. Why does the bittul work when there's a barrier? Who made up that din that bittul doesn't work when there's a barrier? Who made it up?
The rabbis.
The rabbis, the rabbanim. Which rabbanim? I don't know who. Someone between the days of Moshe Rabbeinu when there's Bana Mishnah. That's a span of 1,500 years. Some Beis Din HaGadol came up with this grandiose idea that when you have a barrier, we don't want to apply bittul. Why do you think they came up with such a silly idea? What was wrong with the way the Chumash presented it? What was wrong with the Torah? I think they spashed mishpatim. What's wrong with Achir Mahatas? Why the hell have to change the rules for? There was Pshat. What was bothering Chazal?
People
think it's winter. What does that mean?
That they'll see the egg another time just sitting on the table and say it's
fine. So why did they do away with all the bittul?
Because of the money issue.
So why did they do away with bittul here? What was prompting them more to do away with bittul than normally? There is some underlying problem over here. What's pushing Chazal to the corner? We just proved this is a din d'rabbanan, because with the Raisa, in a million years, this could never be true. It's a din d'rabbanan, and Chazal instituted a barrier in a b'keila, but to some degree in a b'keila, not like the regular was built, whoever the numbers are. Barrier is not about them. What did Chazal make this today? What was bothering them? What was wrong with the good old days? Every time Chazal makes Zayin Drabon, you have to ask, why did they make Muktzah for? What was wrong with moving pencils? Why did they make Bishlach? What's wrong with eating Goyish eggs? Every Din Drabon, you have to ask them, what prompted Chazal to do this, to change the rules? There had to have been an agenda here. I'll tell you what the agenda, tell you what the concern was. Chazal Baruch Kachem understood. The very notion of Bittul is presupposing something. Things can be bottle when they're what?
Minority.
When they're not just quantitatively minority, but when they're what?
Minority.
What is bittle mean? What you said is bottle of bottle. What is that? What is that like?
It's ignored.
It's like negligible. It's insignificant. That was the silliest, most ridiculous svarat, as far as bottle. Bottle always in a halacha has the connotation of an ichashivus, of a lack of significance. That's what bittul always means. Bittul is always a demonstration that something is not too important to you. And therefore, we can look the other way and say, oh, it's not so important anyway, so it got swallowed up. It lost its characteristics because it's bottle. It's come out of the lace, it's not important. Give me some other examples in halacha where the term bittul applies. They're different contexts, but it's the same idea. Give me some ideas of things that are bottle because they're not significant. What? I don't hear that. Bittul chametz. What does bittul chametz mean? What does bittul chametz mean? So, next year. What do you say when you say bittul chametz? It's afra, the ara. I don't want it anymore. I don't need it anymore. It's not shavuot to me anymore. That's bittul. Who knows another example of bittul? Where else do you find bittul meaning that it doesn't mean anything to me? I just give it a kick and I say, give it a spit. It's not important to me. Bitla Vinazara. I have an idol. The idol is very expensive. And the goyim been worshipping it night and day. And all of a sudden the goy comes and gives a bash, a hey, mishach, have a rick. Throws it, gives it a kick and throws it at the garbage. What happens to the idol? It becomes what? Oh, you said Vinazara. No longer of a desire anymore because it's lost its chashivas of a desire because it's mutabah now. If you're a kashin issue with it, do whatever you want, it's gevaldik. If we yell to Dal Mina, maybe with it even. Hot to with an idol, but you know what I mean. So, remember, learn this. When something's. So, whenever you talk about Bittul by definition always conjures up the image, not just quantitatively insignificant, but qualitatively insignificant as well. Give me one more example. One more example of Bittul that is a demonstration of Ichashivos. Come on. It's an easy one.
All year?
Bittul. Bittul. Bittul Torah! What does Bittul Torah mean? What does Bittul Torah mean? Bittul Torah doesn't mean I'm not learning. That means any loy made. Bittul Torah means I'm a vatal zayin Torah. The Torah is not choshev to me. Who is one of the developers who say the bit is a lomdus in Bittul Torah? What? Not Reb Chaim, but who? Reb Baruch Ber. In Birkat Shmuel and Kedushin, develops the aside, this is, you can't get more brisk than this. There are two dinim in Bittul Torah. Not all Bittul Torah is the same as after Baruch Ber. There's Bittul Torah, which is an ain't no loymate. You guys don't know anything. It comes, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He's sitting in Shia. He should be focusing on the Shia, but he's daydreaming. You know, I don't know, he's on his computer, you know, figuring anybody else, you know, he's checking the scores or something, checking the stocks, I don't know, whatever things he's doing in his computer. You know, guys, he's ain't a loymate. Is the scores very important to him? Not really. Is the stocks doing there? He's checking, I mean, Donald is checking Shiva World, I don't know whatever he's checking, I don't know. You know, like, checking all the really, you know, hot places to look for exciting things, he's checking peak control, I don't know whatever interests him. He's not like He's not saying Torah is not important to me. He just says, oh no, you know, it's Thursday already. I lost the Shia already. I didn't prepare the Mamre Kermes. You know, I'm still in the middle of the last sugya. I still have no idea whether it be the day Misharinen or not. I don't know what I'm up to. The rabbi's talking about Rav HaBezdin. I don't know who the Rav HaBezdin was. I'll pick it up on Sunday. I'll pick up on Monday. Monday's very Thanksgiving next week. Why come next week? Okay, so that's just a regular guy. He's just, you know, not for the top, you know, top 10 this year. But, you know, he's a nice guy. And then when they call me and ask me about Shidduch, I say, hey, he's a serious guy. He likes to learn sometimes when he's in the mood. And sure. Great. Okay. So that's one kind of Bittul Torah. There's another kind of Bittul Torah. The other kind of Bittul Torah of the Baruch Ber is when a person is mevatel zayin Torah. Bekumva asay, not b'sheval ta'asay. He's mevatel zayin Torah bekumva asay. How you mevatel zayin Torah bekumva asay? There's only one way that the Baruch Ber to mevatel Torah bekumva asay. What was that? To give chashivas to what? To something else. If you don't give chashivas to anything in this world, you're just a general bottle and look, that's not so bad. But when you're mevatel Torah by giving chashivas to other things that don't warrant that chashivas, you are hereby denigrating the Torah by listing up other things with chashivas. The famous Rav Ramah. Now, what was this? When did he say this? Yisai to explain what Ramah? Which Ramah? Who remembers? The Ramah and Huchas Tam Torah. What is the state? The Ramah and Huchas Tam Torah. We didn't talk about. We also spoke once 100 times over the years. The famous Ramah and Huchas Tam Torah, where the Ramah raises the question. Halacha. This is not like a machshava. This is not like questions and answers on a Friday night in the breeze. In Huchas Tam Torah, Shulchan Aruch, Chelik Gimel, no less than Chelik Aleph. In Huchas Tam Torah, so the Ramah discusses the permissibility or lack thereof of studying other kinds of subjects. So he discusses. Studying other shachochmas, the Ramah is not talking about to make a parnasa. Making a parnasa, that's a different sugya legamre. That's called libur umnus. But the Ramah is talking about libur chochmas, stop for the sake of libur shachochmas. So the Ramah has a pshara. The Ramah says, are you allowed, are you not allowed? Or the Ramah says, depends. If you do it by akroy, it's okay. If you do it by kvius, it's a problem. If you do it, it's manchli over the laila, a long banish bashas. You do it, chsidish banish bashas. So then it's okay. But if you do it, bekvius, that's a problem. But again, the Ramah is not talking about pernos, bechalma. The Ramah is talking about stam, limut shachochmas for the purpose of shachochmas. So what's pshat in that? What's pshat in that chiluk? You don't want to shach. Is limut shachochmas called bittul Torah or not called bittul Torah? Because bittul Torah should be also even for second. If it's not bittul Torah, it should be mutal legamri. What's the difference? So Zochter Baruch Ber, no, the answer is as follows, that shows man that you're not doing it the kvios, so that a guy's not learning. There are a lot of times a guy's not learning. I'm not learning because I'm taking a walk. I'm not learning because I'm taking a nap. I'm not learning because I'm eating dinner. I'm not learning because I'm doing homework with my kids. I'm not learning to talk to my wife. There are a lot of justified times. A person doesn't have to learn 24-7. The Torah wasn't given in such a way. Every single split second, you're allowed to daven, you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to sleep, you're allowed to talk to your wife, you're allowed to take a walk, you're allowed to exercise, you're allowed to play a little boy. There are things you're allowed to do in this world. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah, B'chonim said, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is much more lenient than we thought it was. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not to learn 24-7. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to learn whenever you're not doing anything else that's justified by halacha. Eating is justified by halacha, sleeping is justified by halacha, making a partner also we pass it, B'chonim said, we pass is justified by halacha. Whatever, I don't know, what other things do people do in their life? That's about it. Okay. So when you the biggest make on top of Tyra. He says that you can spend time with your wife, you can spend time with your kids, you can spend time taking a nap, you can do all those things. That's perfectly okay. But when you're not doing any of those above justified activities, then you're mechuyav tam tayr. So state in Rebuchadnezzar. That's Rebuch Bar saying also. Butts up to Rebuch Bar. The person wants to read here and there. He gets a little, chop. He likes to read this book. He wants to read this book. The same way you're allowed to take a break today, to take a nap and take a break to talk to your kids and take a break to shoot some hoops. So you're allowed to read a book also. But the minute that you start to do other kinds of activities, bekvios is up to Baruch Be'er. So that's a much greater level of Bittur. That's a Bittur of a formal declaration. Torah is not kosher. There's no head for that bechlal. Then Baruch Be'er has the Chiddush Gadol, which is this is the big machlokes. Then he claims that that second bit of Torah of kviyos may not even be mutter b'mokum parnasa, even b'mokum umnus. That becomes a very, very controversial statement of Baruch Be'er. Pashtus, Rabbi Chanan didn't go that far. Rabbi Chanan doesn't seem to say that at all. So I am Sham. You want to get that's what it starts to get very late today. But not for anyway, okay. So. Everyone knows where this Rebbe Baruch Be'er was printed originally? Everyone knows the background of this piece of Rebbe Baruch Be'er? It all started with an anonymous, I'll tell you in a minute who he was, an anonymous yeshiva bacher in Europe who was born in Germany in the early 1900s. He was born in Germany and he grew up in the world of Shem Shapol Hirsch, the world of Torah Derech Eretz, and you're going to school and whatever, that kind of stuff. And then he went off to Eastern Europe to the Mir to learn, the Shia yeshivas, and they didn't buy into any of that kind of stuff. And he wanted to know, he wanted to get a sense of what the Mahalach should be. Should he go back to the model that he knew from his youth of Torah Derech Eretz, of getting a secular education and advancing himself, whatever it is, and learning also a lot? Or should he stay in the Eastern European model of Mir and Tel and Slabotka, where Kula Torah came, Rechemenu, with nothing else whatsoever? So he decided, this particular Shubach decided to get a poll of the different Gedolei Yisrael at the time. He asked them what their sense was. So he, and then he printed their letters. So one of the letters that he sent was to Rebbe Baruch Be'er, and Rebbe Baruch Be'er's response to him eventually became printed in Birkas Shmuel at a later point. Another God who he asked was Rebbe Chanan, and that became printed up in Kervit Shurim. Then he sent one to the Rabbi Shavar, and he sent one to one of the Rashivas from Tells in Europe, and a few others. Those, I think, the only four that we have actually still intact today. Some fascinating reading. We want to get some real juicy stuff from the 1920s and 30s of Eastern Europe about some very fascinating topics, very, very interesting topics. Anyway, so that anyone know who the anonymous Yeshiva Bacher was? None other than?
Rachmaneh.
What? Rachmaneh. No, this was 100 years before. What? It was Shimon Schwab. Shimon Schwab later became the Rav and Broyers. So it was not that long ago, 20 years, whatever it was. He was that Yeshiva Bacher. It was Shimon Schwab. A little bit strange circle of cycle of life. He ended up becoming the Rav of Breuers, which was the community that he had grown up in, but he had already detoured a little bit through the world of Eastern Europe for a while. Anyway, interesting, fascinating stories. Back to that story. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about Bittul. So I'm trying to express to you this idea that Bittul has the connotation of things that are not choshev. Now do we understand what Chazal said? Hey, wait a second. Although Bittul min HaTorah really does apply to everything, but sometimes we're going to be very, very weary to apply Bittul. You know why? Because it seems to us that this item is really, yes, chashuv. Even though min ha-Torah, the Torah itself probably doesn't say that, but if it looks to us like this is very, very chashuv, we cannot invoke bittul with a straight face. With a clear conscience, we cannot tell people that it's bittul, because l'maaseh, it's very chashuv, and it doesn't lose its characteristics. Wasn't it chashivus? Now, granted, that's a din midrabanan, true. Min ha-Torah, as no matter how chashuv it is, it's probably bittul anyway. But midrabanan, if it looks to us to be chashuv, so it's not going to be bittul. But how do you measure something as chashivus? What criteria did you use to say this is chashuv, this is not chashuv? So those are sugyas we're going to hopefully talk about at great length. Davar shebeminyan, maybe an example of chashivus. And you know what else maybe an example of chashivus? What?
Beryon
maybe chashivus. What is beryon chashuv? What makes beryon so chashuv? What makes beryon so chashuv? Who told you that a beryon is chashuv? It's a whole item. So? So, what makes it so chashuv? How do you know? How do you measure? What measuring rod do you use to measure chashivas or not? Oh, brachas is the exception, maybe. Comes the Ritva later on in the sugya. We're going to talk about the great detail. We'll get to Tavkuf. The Ritva says he thinks that the reason why Chazal had it in for barriers and they thought that barriers are chashuv is because there is a dindi araisa of a barrier being chashuv. Not that it's not bottom in a Torah. Dvarim chashivim are bottom in a Torah. But the idea that a beria is called a davar chashuv is a deraisatic concept. Where? What? Makas. What about makas? Normally, you have to eat how much in order to get makas. You have to eat a kezias. What does Mishnah say in makas? If you eat a whole bug, a teeny weeny weeny bug, it's tiny, a little ant, it's big, less than a kezias. Not even a small share of kezias. You can fit 100 of them onto your matzah sheet. It's not even nowhere near. It's thousands of kezias in your side malchus. You know why? Because what it's lacking in quantitative chashivos, it is making up in qualitative. The fact that it's a whole entity, it's a whole unit, it's a whole barrier between the tzoyf, that is chashuv, and the Torah views that as chashivos vis-a-vis the sugya of giving malchus, and that's a din deraisa, called the tikkun rabban and kein deraisa tikkun. Chazal said that just as just as a barrier is chashuv vis-a-vis malchus, and you don't need kezias, so too vis-a-vis taroibes, in our world of the rabbanon, that dvar chashivu and avodah, because bittul is presupposing lack of chashivus. In the world of the rabbanon, of chashivus is having bittul, we are going to stop. We're going to put the brakes. Hold. Stop. Red light. There's no bittul on dvar chashuvim, and a barrier qualifies as a davar chashuv because we already have precedent min ha-Torah called the tikkun rabbanon kein deraisa tikkun. That's what the Ritva says. That's what's going on in our sugya. If that's the case, that the whole din de rabbanon, that a barrier is not subject to the regular rules of bittul, it all has its eyes on the din deraisa that a barrier is chayav malchus. So now we have broadened our possibilities of searching how to define a barrier. Because we don't have to limit ourselves to Daf Kufa Min Aleph. We can now go back to Machas and look what other things give you Malchus. What other items qualify as barriers for the purposes of Malchus? And if it qualifies for Malchus to be a barrier, then by extension, called the Tikkun Rabbanon Kinderais, it will qualify as a barrier for the purposes of Ibitul. So now we can test case the Machlokes, the Rav Avbezin, and everybody else. The Rav Avbezin is telling a story that a Beitz is a barrier. And in our heart of hearts, we don't believe it's true. The Ramban says he doesn't believe it's true. Well, how do you know? How would you measure whether it's a barrier or not? So you have to go through all the Gemaras that talk about the characteristics of the barrier. So if Kolzman, you thought that barrier was only relevant, like after the dinner of Bittul, so then you had only one Gemara to go on, you had very little to Google. But once you just extended your horizons a little bit and you realized, based on this Ritva, that's why I had to give you the whole mushel, I had to give you the whole background of Bittul, Chashivas, to explain to you, to understand this concept, that this din de rabbanon is rooted in the raistic concept that dvarim and chashuvim are different. So let's go back to the sugya machlokes and figure out, is it beis din yev barrier or nishna barrier? What do you think? What do you think? Do you think that a beis is a barrier or not? Comes the rabban and says, I don't think it's a barrier. You know why? Because what does the Gemara say in machlokes about a barrier? One of the requirements? It has to be a barrister shama. The Mishnah says beferish that the only time, what's beferish? The only time something is a beria, it has to be beris the shamash me beria, beris in the shamlav shme beria. That's why the Gemara says in Machis, if a person eats a whole grain of wheat, of tevel, is he chay malchus? Less than a kedais. Eats an entire kernel, is he chay malchus? No. It's a beria. What does the Gemara say? It's not alive. Beris the shamash me beria. Love. Various lam shem lav shem beria. So comes the Ramban and jumps on this Rav Beis Din and says, "How can you tell me a story that a Beis is a beria? It's missing the ABC criteria. Beria, it's not alive. Beis was never alive. It came from a live thing, but it's not alive. I mean, plants are also alive in a certain sense, but there's alive and there's alive. Bugs are alive." Beitzim are not alive. There's no neshama to a beitzim. And therefore argues the Ramban, the whole Rav Beis Din is wrong. See what that's like. But if you Rav Beis Din would respond to that, how does this very Gemara? Don't bother with the Gemara. But the Taisa that revamped that type, we're not for now. So put that in hold till we get the Sugya Daf Kuf Daf Rav. That Gemara that the Ramban claims exists. It exists, but it may not be the final word of this thing. But put that on hold for now. Rabbi said we have a major machlokes in Rishonim. Do we really require Beris Neshama or not? If we do, then a Beitza for sure. If we don't, then a Beitza qualifies. So the Rava Beis Din's entire mahalach in the sugya is, again, this is all to answer one kasha. Let's make sure we put things into proper perspective. Why are we talking about this? What does Gemara say? Chazar again. Shachotah the Gemara. The Gemara says, Beitza b'shishim, frek the Gemara, what do you mean? There's no tam to a Beitza. What was Rabbi Beis Din's kasha? Why are we talking about bitul what? Good. For Beitza. And for the Rabbi Beis Din, bad answer. Why? Because it's a barrier. And therefore, it's not both of b'shishim anyway. Frek the kasha, what? What was the kasha?
Who says it's
a barrier? Rabbi Beis Din. Gemara Beitza, right? So what must the Rabbi Beis Din say? That when we say that, a barrier is in a betela. What does that mean? It's in a betela. What does that mean? It's not betela. It's not betela in normal rules, but it's not subject to the rule of Philip Yalflo Botil. So I frek the Ramban. What are you talking about? A Beitz is a barrier. What are you kidding? It's not a barrier to Shama. And the Gemara says vis a vis the sugya of Malchus, which is the whole source, as it's above. I toy chumud rabbanim. Gemara insists on Beres Neshama, to which Rabbi Beis Din says, "Nah, who needs Beres Neshama? That Gemara didn't really need it." So when all the dust settles, we have a lot of machlokes that fly now to Rabbi Beis Din and everybody else. First and foremost, machlokes is a Beitza beria. Second machlokes, when we say that a beria ain't a betela, what does that mean? According to the Rabbi Beis Din, that means it's ain't a betela. B'shishim, but it's potentially betel 100, 200, 500, 900, I don't know what the number is, but it's potentially betel. According to the Ramban, what does beria and betel mean? Eina betela klal ukla. So those are two very, very, very important machlokes that emanate from the sugya. So again, who saw the sugya? Who appreciated the Rav Beis Din's kasha? Who appreciates the Rav Beis Din's teretz? Who appreciates the Ramban argues? We have two machlokes between the Rav Beis Din and the Ramban that are now flying out from in between the lines of our sugya. Number one, what do you think a Beitza is? Yeber and Ishberia, depending on how serious you take the criteria of Neshama. And number two, when we say Beria and Betela, just how serious do we mean that? Can anyone begin to dream just how far reaching these two machlokesim are? These two machlokesim go way beyond Chul of Tzadi Zayin. Way, way beyond. They fill the pages of Halach Lamaisa. Both of these issues, they affect our lives every single day. I'll tell you how. At the end of the day, as the Beitza beria all boils down to one nakuda. One nakuda what? How serious do you take the principle of beria's what? Neshama. So I'll tell you two stories. Then I'll tell you a third story. Two of the stories appear in the Gemara, one in the Bible, one in the Rishalmi, and one happened to me. Okay? You judge the three stories. Gemara in the sixth Berakhah of Brachas tells a story about Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan once ate an olive probably more than once, he ate an olive. And he recited a bracha charona on the olive. And the Gemara asks the funniest kasha. It's like, you gotta laugh at this kasha. What's the kasha? How could you make a bracha charona on the olive? It's not a kezias. Come on, the Gemara had to lighten up a little bit. Come on, it's not a kezias, it's like a yeshiva guy. Rabbi Yechon's eating an olive, it's this kid kezias. What does the Gemara say? No, it was a kezias. First of all, why wasn't it a kezias? Because the pit. So the Gemara said, no, it was a very, very big olive. The shear of kezias is kezias bendi, a medium-sized olive. Eat a big olive without the pit, that's like eating a medium-sized olive with a pit. You can breathe a sigh of relief. That's story number one. The Rishalmi tells another story. Who was this? The Ketz Mevarchim. That they remember those days? In first hall?
Sundays.
Sundays. Only, okay, 1 in 5 chance that you were here that day. Okay. So the Rishalmi has another story. Almost a parallel story. Same Rabbi Yechon, same olive. I'm not sure, same story. Rav Yechon said an olive, and he made a bracha on the olive, and everybody jumped and says, why do you make a bracha on the olive? You know what the Gemara says? What does the Gemara say? You're right, it wasn't a kezias. We can still make a bracha on, you know why? Because he ate the whole olive, including the pit, he ate everything. So he ate a what? A berya. Pit doesn't count towards the shear of the olive. There's not achila, but he ate in a beria. And what does the Rishami in effect mean by saying that? Just as in Hilchos Kashrus, if you eat a kezayis, yechayim malchus, and if you eat a bug, yechayim malchus, because of what's lacking in quantity is made up in quality, you still do Hilchos Brachas, where the din is you have to eat a kezayis, to make a bracha korona, bechalta, b'mais achila, kezayis. So what you're lacking in quantity, you can make up in quality. And a beria, therefore, is enough to be mechayim a bracha korona. Those are two stories, no? Comes Tosfos in Brachos and says, we're not sure what to make of these two stories. What are the two ways of understanding the two stories? It could be it's Machlokes. It could be it's Machlokes, the Chachmei Balton, the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. It was the same story. It was the same Rabbi Yochim, the same Aleph, and the Amoraim and Balton and Roman Eretz Yisrael have different ways of interpreting why he made the Bracha Chorinah. Everyone's trying to figure out, what did Rebbe do? Why did he do what he did? So some Talmidim say he did Azoy, and some say he did Azoy, different reasons. But there's a lambda shemachlokes here. That the Chachmei, Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud Yerushalmi, who saw as the solution to the problem, Beria, invoked the din of Beria for olives, even though olives are what? Not alive. Never saw walking, talking olive. It's not alive. And the Chachmei Bavel Dafka veered away and said, no, Hakam Haskinim was a big olive, because they didn't want to give that answer, because they thought that burial wouldn't suffice to make a bracha korban, because the olive is not what? It's not alive. So the Torah says, maybe the taka was a machloikis yaladina between the Talmud Bava and Talmud Yerushalmi. If that is the case, if there's such a machloikis, how are we going to paskin? Obviously, no question about it. Like the Bava, which would result in us saying what? That there's no bracha korban for burial because they're not alive. Which would fit into whose camp? Which would be right in whose camp? Ramban's camp. In Chulun, Tafsari Zion. Didn't you realize we're living in Chulun, Tafsari Zion? Now, if this bracha is going to play out? And what's the other child, Yerushalmi? What's the other child, Tosfos says? Maybe there's no machlokes, Bava and Yerushalmi. No? There's no machlokes. So, how come the Bava says one thing, Yerushalmi says another thing? What's the answer? There were two different stories. Rabbi Yochanan only ate one olive his entire life. Rabbi Yochanan ate different olives at different times in his life. So one version of the story was that particular story, he ate the entire olive. The reason why the Chachmei Bavel didn't give that answer is because maybe he didn't eat the whole olive. But maybe he made a bracha koron anyway because he had a big olive. So it could be that the Chachmei Bavel agreed to the Yerushalmi, and Yerushalmi, everyone agrees to everybody, the two different stories, the two different sisters. But the Ikaron, everyone would agree, you can't make a bracha koron based on a beria. If that would be the answer to this dilemma between the two stories, who would that fit into? Whose camp would that fit into? That's Rav Beis Din. That an olive, not pertaining to the fact it's not living, not walking, not talking, not breathing, it's still called the barrier. So that which the Machlekes of Hashem, the Ramban and the Rav Beis Din are fighting out in Chulin Daf Tzadi Zion is none other than 2 days of Sofik and Tosfos about whether the Bavli and the Rishami are fighting out, was it one olive or two olives? One mice or two mice? It's the same Shiloh. It all revolves around the same Nakuda. Yeah, you insist on Beres HaShem Anisht. How do we pass in the halacha? Anyone know? But Shteit and Shukhrach, you know the end of the story. What? What? Yeah, yeah, okay, the grapes. Yeah. You know the story of the grapes? Tell the story. Okay, you do guys have to tell. Wait, hang in there. Says in Shulchan Aruch, we don't know what the answer to this question is. We are not sure whether Tosfos' first version is correct or the second. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch writes that the proper protocol is not to eat, what? A whole olive. Unless it's a kazak. Not to eat a whole olive. Not to eat a whole grape. Not to eat a whole bean. Not to eat a whole something. Cut a little bit off. Take a little bit of piece off. Because if you eat the whole thing, and it's not really a kazayas, then you're in a suffering bracha achrona. And the chetchil, you're not supposed to, b'diyav, you don't make a bracha misafi, you're not supposed to look at chetchil and say isafar for a suffering bracha. There's always state in Shulchan Aruch and those brachas. Because we're not sure who's right, which version of Tosfos is right. And we're not sure whether the Bavli and the Rishami are arguing when they say the same thing. We're not sure whether the Rav Beis is right, they're in Bavli. We're not even sure about any of this kind of stuff. So therefore, when in doubt, play it safe, and don't eat a beria, and walk into a suffering bracha. The old timers, remember this one? We'll share with the new timers in my previous Gilgul. So, on a date, so I arrived at the girl's house, and the father sits me down. He didn't give me a pechin of shas. Sits me down, and he offers me to have fruit. So, I'm looking at the plate of fruit, or the bowl of fruit, and I'm noticing weighing all my options very, very quickly. There are apples there. There are grapes there. To take an apple would require me to chomp away for 10 minutes. And then, what in the world am I going to do with this half-baked apple peel? Let's take it away. What am I going to do with it exactly? So, bad idea. What if the girl comes down now? Wait, I have to finish eating my apple. Stick a bird. So, I thought grapes are a much, much safer approach. On the other hand, grapes, to sit down and have, well, I have to have a chazanishir because I have 18 grapes, or 39. I was also to explain to what's going on, also didn't look too well. So I figured I'll have one grape. Problem. What's the problem? One grape is a sofeg, not a sofeg, but buried 2 days in the Taisos about what's Piyadu Shamach, who's Rav Beis and Rambam. So how do you solve that problem? Quick, you have to think quick on dates. Come on, what do you got to do? You got to break up the barrier. So as I'm taking the grape, I cut it away, a little piece away with my finger. And now, of course, you have to figure out what to do with that piece. Baruch Hashem, men have pockets. Women don't have pockets, men have pockets. So, probably in some pseudomine, that's the thing in my closet from 28 years ago or so, there's a little piece of grape still sitting there, Zechel, the old days. And that was my ice barrier. I can tell you one thing, I don't remember a thing from that entire day, except for that story. So, it didn't go too well. Okay, everybody, anyway. So, you think this is not like Elamaisa, you think Chul is not like Elamaisa. I'll share another one with you. There's another major machloikus emanating from this Rav and Rav Beis, everybody say, right? There's another major, major point of contention. When we say that barriers are not batel, are they never batel? Or are they kind of batel? They're just not batel in the magic number 6, but there's some other magic number out there. Anyone know the most practical applications of barrier that we have today? We have it all the time. You want to tell me? Bugs are barriers. I sit down, Friday night meal, and the hostess brings out a vegetable kugel, broccoli in it, cauliflower in it, maybe on toppings it's got strawberries on it, maybe it's got blackberries and raspberries with asparagus inside it, and artichokes and Brussels sprouts. And it's a paradise for Toloim. It's, you name the Tolos, it's there. So, I don't want to insult anybody, so what do? So I take off my glass, I start looking quick. See it. But Achmen, you know, I pull out my book that says that you have to check these things because there are 4,000 bugs in any leaf. So I'm sure there are bugs in there, no question about it, but I don't see it. Why don't I see it? Because so much other stuff going in there. If I can't see it, what is it? Batul Barayim, right? Shishim, robe, something. I breathe a sigh of relief. And then all of a sudden I remember Gevalt Beshrigin and the Kufin and Chulin, and the Gemara says, Beria, Gevalt, Beria Shiny. And I realize the bugs are Berias and I'm up the creek. And then who do I remember? Who comes to save me?
Other of them.
Bad's the last one. The Rav of Beis comes and says, don't worry about it. It's not Batel Berov. It's not even Batel Bashishim. But it's not a Philip Yelzel Batel. There is another magic number. And have any idea what the other magic number is according to some Rishonim? 960. Anyone know where the number comes from? There's a Rash in Mishnayos that claims that the Mishnah that uses the number 960. I kid you not where the number comes from. It's 10 times Shishim plus Shishim times 6 added together, the gematria of 600 plus 360. Why that is important, I have absolutely not a clue. I check with the gematria people, okay? You can probably find the sign up in the yeshiva that has a shiur about that one of these days. But I couldn't hold that. I've been so good the whole week. Really, really. Until 2:30, I held out of place. Okay? My wife's sign is Batel Berov. It's a double chashim. Okay. I'm really good at trying to behave. Okay, so by side, the Rishonim give that magic number, where that number came from. The Rishonim write as our tradition, we don't know where that number came from. Some Rishonim give that number 960 based on 600 with 360 with a mice left there. Those are Shurim Durabonim, right? They're not their eyes, for sure not. Rabbi Sai, the Pashas in the Shulchan Aruch is like the Ramban, that buried the Kubiyah for Batel, and you cannot eat that Kubu. If you understand Hypershitz, the Sefer Kreis Yuplesi writes, Nogu Oilam to be Mekil, like the Rav Abbezin, like the Rash, that there's Bittel at some point, even for barriers. And you know what his Raya is? Imkain, Iblo, he says. You can't eat anything in the summertime, he says. Everything is infested, the bugs go all over the place. Nobody could say that they check their bugs, that they check their food well enough, but they're always bugs. So Shtetl Rivyas and Abishas. And therefore, the only thing we're ultimately relying upon is Bittel. Now, don't walk away and say, gee, that's great, I just saved myself $1 million in Bodek. Hang in there, buddy, until we get to the Sugya Berry to find out what that means and doesn't mean. Whether we follow the Sugya Berry or what he meant by what he said, not exactly the way I just presented it, hang in there. But by side, this Rav Beis and Ramban is critical for multiple applications in Halacha. All those people who are stuck on dates with having to grab a grape, Nogela Maisa. And for all those people who are stuck in a Friday night meal and try to eat kugel, which has all kinds of trefa vegetables in it, also everything. Okay? Hang in there, Roy said. Hang in until Sunday, hopefully. Excitement keeps on going. It's about a good line. It's been off.